You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Well, it has been a long time, 1975, when Steven Spielberg, one of his early movies, maybe his first, certainly his first biggest, I don't know, it ended up becoming the seventh largest grossing movie of all time. And a very simple, taken from a book, of course, very simple, good against evil kind of thing, and started some things that we will never forget. They're kind of part of our culture, including this theme music from the movie about an animal in the water. Very simple. They've always been there, but not like this anymore. He changed our perception of them, unfortunately. Jaws is the name of the movie. The theater that I was in when this movie started, there was some kid in there that would start going, Jaws is coming! Well, it of course, created the iconic line, we're going to need a bigger boat, of course, which was absolutely true. But now we've come all these years down the road, and we're finally back in the water. And now we have an opportunity to be back in the water and actually watching the movie. Yes, kids, get your parents to take you to Valenti Beach Resort and Beachside Billy's. That's in Texas, not all that far away, for a summer vacation. They're showing Jaws on the water. It's the fifth year in a row they've done this. Why are we just now finding this out? It starts in the 1st of June, June 8th. It starts, goes through the middle of August every Saturday, except for July 6th, of course, because that'll be a big weekend for the 4th of July. Jaws on the Water, it's called. And they've got a website, and they have tickets. Now, this is quite a deal. Tickets include access to the Valenti Beach attractions, the sharkified inner tube, and fireworks display. The thrilling, one-of-a-kind experience of watching cinema's greatest great whites with your feet dangling dangerously and deliciously in the water. They were their words, not mine. No, not mine at all. But it's something that your teenagers will love and scream and squeal through while Mom is going, if I make it out of this, I'm going to punch you right in the face. But it does look like a lot of fun just sitting out there because you've got the technology nowadays where you can have a massive big screen. Why not use it for something like showing a movie that was made in 1975?
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He talked a little, but he didn't make sense.
The Sound of Life.
What's the funniest Wi-Fi name? Maybe it's yours. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Bill Y. The Science Fi. That was kind of funny. The Land Before Time, the Land of Milk and Honey, L-A-N, that's funny. Drop It Like It's Hot Spots, I like that one. Nacho Wi-Fi, that's one of my favorites. Which you'd have thought of that, don't you? It's funny. My favorite would be Thou Shalt Not Covet Thy Neighbor's Wi-Fi. That's the name of the Wi-Fi. And it's kind of too long, I guess. It's kind of a long name, but, I was kind of surveying Nacho Wi-Fi. I love that one. Silence of the Land, of course. Is that cool? Abraham Linksky's. Okay. Why fight the inevitable? Oh, well. Iris is just a number, I guess.
The Sound of Life.
I just love talking to people about the weather on Saturday. I say, huh? Remember yesterday? And they were like, whoa, man, yeah, something, isn't it? Amazing. Absolutely amazing to see things work. But I like to see God work in people. No mention of God in this article, but it's just incredible. You've got a director of nursing who, right away to be in that job, I mean, you're doing it for others, right? She is over in Massachusetts. She's director of nursing. And at the end of every workday, she would go visit this infant who was in their hospital. The girl's mother had volunteered to foster when the state gained custody of her back in 2016. Liz Smith's daughter, Giselle, was born at 29 weeks gestation, was diagnosed with neonatal abstinence syndrome due to her mother's drug use during pregnancy. It's a very sad thing. Getting kind of close to that a little bit myself here at the Sound of Life. And it is very sad to see a mother of a child just not be able to break free of that addiction. and what's happened to this daughter who was weighed just under 2 pounds. She spent 3 months in NICU on a ventilator support before she was transferred to Franciscan Children's. She had developed an oral aversion. The infant had allegedly no visitors during the time at Franciscan's Children, except for a 45-year-old nurse who had recently learned that she was not a good candidate to have a child of her own. And she's just fell in love with this little girl, this baby. And the day came when the state said, well, the mother doesn't have any, they lost visit, you know, they're not going to be able to have visitation and stuff. And she said, it was very sad for me because the mother just couldn't kick the addiction. And seen some of that happen close. And it is very sad. But she said, I was kind of happy because I had fallen in love with this now little girl. So she said, here she is battling this addiction. But 2 years after Giselle first landed in the state custody, she legally became her mom. Smith did. She said that when the judge walked in their adoption day, October 18th, 2018, when a judge walks in the room, everyone stands out of respect. But today I stand in respect to you. That's the judge talking, Liz, because you deserve the respect from this room. A birthing day is a miracle, but adopting a child from miles away is destiny. That's what brought you two together. So she has thrived, of course, even though being developmentally, I guess she's has some development issues, but because she has a lot of love and a person who gives her pizza and avocados, but you know, that's all part of the love. It's just an incredible story. The nurse said, since the moment I met her, there was something behind her striking blue eyes capturing my attention. I felt that I needed to love this child and keep her safe. And I think, like the judge said, it was just something that was destiny. It was going to work out. They have a way to know that. So you've probably seen the photograph that's making the rounds on social media. It's absolutely incredible. And it's just, it's when Giselle was just an infant. She's holding her, and boy, she's so happy.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
And we're talking about the director of nursing who was visiting this child that was in her hospital and then finally became a ward of the state. And so, man, she said, I fell in love with that child. I'm going to adopt her. You know, we're kind of in a pro-life mood today. Choose life. That's from Deuteronomy. Therefore, choose life. So I love this post from Teresa Rose. She said, I was born 3 months premature at 1 pound, 14 ounces. The doctors said that if I survived, I would be blind, deaf, unable to speak, unable to walk. Yet here I am, seeing, speaking, and moving. All glory goes to God, for he makes the impossible thing possible. She happens to be a preschool teacher, trauma survivor, overcomer. I will not be silent, only because of Jesus.
The Sound of Life.
We're definitely in the rainy season of April, and May flowers will be beautiful. The greenery is coming up through the dirt so fast you can actually watch it. I think that statement, watching grass grow, is actually true in a lot of places. Simple things in life, right? Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's a Mississippi mud cake. From what I understand, if you leave the marshmallows out of the recipe and substitute pecans, I was reading that recipe. I thought, boy, that sounds fantastic. Mainly because grandma didn't like the, you know, she loved pecans and I do too. So that'd be pretty cool. Happiness can be very simple for you. You blessed person, you, and usually it's a lot easier to go through life when we see things like that. For me, it's having the thermostat heat set on 66 and the actual temperature at 71.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
So the latest report of teenagers roaming around and causing good things to happen. I found out about recently. This is a group of middle schoolers. They're volleyball players. Probably not, you know, from the upper echelons of where they live, and just to you know, they're just regular guys, And the thing that's interesting is it was after volleyball practice, and the coach wanted them to run. And they ran over a bridge. And as the coach said,
we don't run that bridge ever. In my 6 years here, never did that. And none of the sports that we've done.
They have never run over that bridge, but he told them to today. He said, run over that bridge. And what did they find? Somebody was dangling off the bridge. They said they thought it was one of their classmates, but then it wasn't. It was a young woman. She was there. They ran back, told the coach. He said, go back up and encourage her. I'll call 911. He said, tell her that her life has value and don't let her fall off of that bridge. And that is exactly what they did. And they got credit for saving her life, as they well should. The authorities were stunned. It took about 10 minutes for them to get there, and then they took over. But I love what the coach said. You know, you kind of get emotional because as coaches, and you know this as a coach, these children, you're molding these children. As he's,
I'm like a father to
you. Yes, you are.
So?
You get a little emotional, don't you?
To see them,
yeah,
do the things that I instilled in them is so gratifying.
The things you instill, they're going to come through for you. It's okay. I know what you're thinking. Oh, those are special kids. My children would never do. No, you're thinking your children probably would do that because that's what you've taught them. And then when they stand in front of the news camera and your little son says,
I believe that no matter what you're going through in life, if you pray and you like fight through it, you're going to make it through.
Wow. Isn't that something? You go, kids. It's the kids are taking over.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
A lot of kids were last year getting ready for the proms. Understandable. They got the high-tech phones and all that, you know, correct what they're saying. And so they were tweeting out that they, you know, wanted to ask their date what kind of croissant they wanted. As it turned out, the word came out croissant instead of corsage. They found themselves asking their prom dates what they wanted for that special event. And there's a restaurant known for their honey butter croissants. That's one of the things, by the way, that's forbidden if you're a celiac patient like me. No more. So they teamed up, this restaurant did, with a Dallas-based florist called Petals and Stems to create what has been called a surprisingly elegant, well, for a croissant, it's surprisingly elegant corsage using croissants, baby's breath flowers, and roses. It screams, what in the world did you do? I mean, that's what it looks like. But it's kind of the hottest accessory this year. Is that really true, or did I just fall into some kind of April Fool's joke?
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He talked a little, but he didn't make sense.
The Sound of Life.
I got to tell you a little something now. By now, you probably, even if you recorded it, you know who won the game, right? Last night, men's national basketball championship. The whole tournament's been very exciting this year, of course, full of overtimes and upsets. And yet, out of all of that, a number one seeded team wins the national championship. That's pretty amazing. Now, here's the thing. Personally, I think you have to feel pretty good about the University of Virginia. If you're a person who just knows that, well, I guess I knew it was March Madness and they were playing, but I had no idea when it was. All that. And historically, they play on a Monday night, I think because of the whole Sunday thing going back years ago. But I don't know why they can't work the schedule out to make that a Saturday night game. Monday at 9:20 start time, really? Okay. I'll never, until they change that, I'm just going to rant and rave. But Virginia, the basketball team, has never won a national championship, which to say that is, well, there's tons of schools never won a national championship. Right. But they've been so close. They've had great teams. Lefty Drizel, back in my day, left Davidson College to go to University of Virginia. He had some of the best teams in the country. I mean, right up there in the UCLA era. And for some reason, couldn't quite get some of the best basketball games ever played, but he came out on the losing end. And then there was the Ralph Sampson era. What was he, 7'6", 7'4", something, you know, dominating team and stuff. Couldn't quite make it there. Last year, number one seeded Virginia played number 16 seeded Do you remember the name of the team? Boy, they sure do, because they tweeted, congratulations, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Good old UMBC, 16th seed, beat a number one seed. Never happened before. It was terrible for Virginia. The players got death threats. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy. And it was just a thing that they had to live through, the players. And it really just kind of exemplifies the lowest point that you could be. I mean, yes, it's sports. And, you know, it's going to happen. And it happened. And it was them. But this year to come back and win it all the way back, win the national championship in overtime, to really have to, you know, down. Who was the team that they were playing that they were a high-seeded team? They were down, or low-seeded team. They were down by 14 points. Campbell College, I think. People thought, oh, here we go again. But they didn't. It came back. It's an incredible story. So it's kind of a neat story that makes it a little bit more, now, you know, a little bit behind just the fact that the Virginia Cavaliers have the fight song. It's the theme song to Auld Lang Syne, Happy New Year.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and you know, day is going to get better and better.
I saw it and I went, what? I put my daughter down and never picked her back up. And I thought, uh-oh, what happens? A tragic story. No, it's just a way to dramatize and something that women will understand. And I've talked to several moms and they said, yeah, they think about that sometimes, especially as their daughter's getting older and they pick you up. You know, baby, you always get picked up, and mom-daughter relationships are very special. This one particular mom, she was just letting out her feelings. She said one day, without realizing it, she got too big to scoop up, too big to rest on my lap. The day I set her down, I didn't know it would be the last. It's kind of one of those things you think about. One day, it's going to be the end. That'll be it. And it's really a way of saying that time goes by faster than you would like. And one day, you're not going to be cuddling anymore. You've moved on to another adventure. It'll always be an adventure with your children, with your parents. It'll always be, but it'll be a different stage. And this one is a very special one, of course. If you're mom, you know that, to be able to do that, to be able to hug your daughter. Of course, a lot of people weighed in on it, you know, were saying, well, I'll still pick them up, you know, we're grown, we still pick each other. I mean, guys would do that. Guys would be like, I pick them up all the time, you know, when you can. But people got kind of funny, you know, but and some people, like Summer said, you know, I didn't read this as sad. Really remember the last time I physically carried each of our daughters. I remember that. I think her point was just that it's over before you know it. Cherish each stage. Boom. Exactly, Summer. You're exactly right. But still, some people had to take photographs, like Donette. I still hold my 16-year-old, you know, up there. So.
You don't see that every day.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I've stopped doing the standing and the walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
The Sound of Life.
On a regular basis, I don't know if it's a yearly basis, but Country Living Magazine, they do this wide-ranging survey, and they did it recently, and they got all the statistics back. And one of the things they noticed was that 36% of dog owners surveyed, I guess, are very happy, just people. And only 18% of cat owners came back with the same answer. So they're kind of putting that together out there. It made news, and that's why I know about it and telling you about it. And I thought, well, you know, my mother-in-law is a big cat person. Although in their family, they have had a dog. They always had a dog. That's when the cats go hide. Although I think personally, cats really run the place. Cats run the place. We all know that, you know, maybe that, I don't know. Why wouldn't you be just as happy? Maybe it's just one of those things that worked out. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, but it'll get out in the news that, oh, dog owners are happier than cat owners. Even though I don't know how that sound makes you really, it's like, I'm the boss. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, you know, either get that or the woof woof. But I was just thinking, it's one of those things, it may not have anything to do with being happy, whether you're a cat owner or a dog owner. It's just the way it worked out in the statistics. They were looking at statistics. And sometimes that happens over history, doesn't it? I mean, we've got some very famous people in the scientific world or whatever the world of where they write books and expounds on what they've learned, and we take it and suck it in, and, you know, from years ago. And so for years and years, it's thought to be truth. Oh, this is true, you know. And it's not. It's totally bogus. Eric Metaxas was talking about that. I've been watching a lot of his talks lately. He said, you know, if something was wrong with your car, like maybe the brakes could fail and they found that out, it would be out in the news the next day. Oh, we're wrong. Something's wrong with your car. It'd be all over the news, and you'd be getting in touch with you, and they'd be telling you to go get it fixed. We'll fix it for nothing and all that in your repair, you know. But some, you know, psychological news about lifestyle or something, you know, this is going to get out. Dog owners are way happier than cat owners. This was proven in a survey, you know. And so but when it's disproved, they said, oh, no, it just had one, did not have anything to do with the other. We found that out, you know. Just because we find a drop of water on Mars doesn't mean the fish are going to be jumping out of it. So, you know, things like that. But that kind of thing will just keep on going. It just grows and keeps on going. That's the truth. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of one of those things.
The Sound of Life is priceless to me.
The Sound of Life.
Here's something that's worth telling you about. And he knows. I'll tell you right there. They've been through a lot. You know, Randy Phillips, he's kind of the spokesperson for Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Amazing. Their sound that they put together. Just glorifying God and stuff, and preaching the word as well, singing it and things like that. You know, we do worry. I know we do, because I see these studies all the time. You can get caught up in it very easily. We're anxious people. I mean, it's just, that's something that's absolutely true. Convinced of that. Just look around, go to a public place and look around. It's amazing. And then we consume pharmaceuticals at an incredible rate, whatever. And just all kinds of stuff. But it's very simple. If it's worth worrying about, as Randy Phillips says, hey, it's worth praying about.
The Sound of Life.
Kevin is just kind of a genius that did something that the rest of us are going, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Not only that, you know, why didn't it come around before? Maybe because of technology. But ever since Kevin was a kid, he's been bored by the monotonous environments of hospital rooms. Let me tell you, the people who work there are too. So, as a means of making sure that his children were never forced to endure the same tedium, he came up with a simple solution to help with the hospital doldrums. No, the kids cannot draw on the walls, but it's close. He is the mastermind behind a business called Playtime Edventures. Playtime Edventures, which is an interactive set of bed sheets that feature dozens of games and lessons for children confined to their hospital beds. How about that? They're in there. They get so bored. They're like, I'm willing to study stuff on my sheet. That's kind of the way to know. It's really, really pretty cool. He does happen to be from Charlotte, North Carolina. But anyway, he probably, you know, born in the Bronx and moved down there or something. But he came up with this after he visited a hospital, saw a friend a couple years ago. And he was really heartbroken by the idea of, you know, child spending just hours in pain in a hospital room. And he thought, I know. He and his wife always played games on their son's bed in order to help him fall asleep. And that's what kind of birthed the idea. He's kind of, you know, his mind is firing on all cylinders right there. And he worked with some school teachers to make these games educational, hence Playtime Edventures. And he said, we put together bed sheets and slumber bags that cover everything from geography, math, science, grammar, word find games. And it's all on a three-piece set. It's just amazing. You have to kind of like see it to get an idea, and you go, oh, yeah, that looks so cool. Of course, kids are all happy. But he did it, and it's actually a very, very cool thing when you see the kids. I mean, you know, it's just so stark. It's just amazing. So kudos to Kevin from Charlotte for coming up to something that's absolutely incredible. They're kind of spreading out. You know, he knows they're in 10 different hospitals across the country, but he said, I know some people that have bought them themselves and have donated them to hospitals and things. I mean, his hope, obviously, that the invention will make its way into hospitals really all around the world. And I believe the guy, you know, he's sincere. He'll end up donating that money for something, you know, that the money for making those things is pretty incredible. I could just see him in there pitching the idea that it's a company, you know, we're going to make these bedspreads with games on them, you know. What do you think? What do you think there? Who was it? Space Lightyear? Whatever.
To infinity and beyond. Yeah.
The Sound of Life.
We've got some really good news. Johnny Erickson Tada is out of the hospital. You may be going, well, was she in the hospital? I had mentioned it, but I don't know if you caught it or not. She was having, I guess, some pain. It was turned out to be breathing issues that are associated with her being a quadriplegic. Kind of all made sense, a little bit that I know. But she's in her 60s, well in her 60s, you know, so it's been a long time. How old was she? 15, I think, when she dove into that pond one summer day in Maryland and broke her neck, which is a lesson. As spring is coming and the summer season, don't ever dive into water that you don't know what's below there. You may, you know, don't do that. And always make sure water's there. And that's it. But she is just an epitome of somebody who seems to be so physically limited. And she's talked very frankly about that. I just listened to her talk on different programs being interviewed and things. And boy, she just talks and lays it right out there. And she went through it. You should know that. When that first happened, she wanted to commit suicide. And she really went through it. Her and God, they just had it out. And, as a result, God has used that broken vessel so powerfully around the world for wheelchairs to the world. And who knows the people she's encouraged just because of her and her hymn sings, for goodness sakes, in public places. Pretty awesome. So, great, wonderful photograph coming out of the main entrance of the hospital in her hometown, I guess. So it's, really, really pretty cool. And she said, man, praise God for healing of my lungs. Fresh air never felt so good. Speaking of being in the hospital, she probably didn't have games on her sheet that she could even look at, you know, or have somebody play with her. She said, God bless you for praying for me to the marvelous release after 14 days in the hospital. Has it been that long? See, when you're not there, I bet she was counting it down. But, it's really good news.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
New study out. Imagine that. I spent half my time looking at studies are out. This study says, they've said, well, this is it right here. If you spend 20 minutes of your day outside, you can sit, you can stroll, whatever you feel, but it puts you in contact with real God-given things like grass and trees and the wind and fresh air. For the first time ever, researchers have conducted a study on the most effective dose of an urban nature experience. Maybe that's because before we didn't have to have it studied. Go to Manhattan sometime. Walk around. Get a meal in one of those restaurants. You know, go partake in all that is Manhattan and then take a walk in Central Park. Woo! Yeah, baby, this is it. I said, I couldn't survive. It couldn't even be there if it wasn't for Central Park. I mean, that's why people flood into that place, even when it's cold out. They bundle up and go in there. It's no big secret. You know, it's the way it is. I don't know. I guess the researchers found out that, you know, it's basically a 20-minute nature pill, and I recommend it to everyone. Just get out there. That's what we need. You know, the old play in the dirt in the back in the sandbox outside.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So, just a couple of days ago, started the process of switching over, you know, to reusable bags at the grocery store. I got three of them. They're pretty good size there in a regular grocery store. Of course, if you're like me and you've been going to Aldi's for years, I've got their old school canvas bags, you know. And you know, if you go to Aldi's, you're on your own when it comes to carrying your groceries out. You can take the cart out there and put the cart in the back of the pickup, take it home. That'd be the easiest way to do it. But otherwise, you got to find boxes or bags or something. So I've been packing my own bags for years, but it took me a while to get used to going in the regular store and getting 38 little plastic bags, you know, and thinking, wow, this is something. But they will take them back. They have a thing in the front of the store, you know, a bin. Just keep them in a bigger garbage bag. Just take them all and throw them in there when I go to the store one time. So, but and I get rid of them that way. But here's the thing. They're starting to be banned. They've been around for about 40 years, and people have been talking about them for about 39 years because they show up, you know, all over landfills. It's blowing everywhere in some places, you know, and I guess they end up in the sewers and pipes and stuff like that. So they've been talking about it, and finally in New York, New York became only the second U.S. state to ban them. I don't know exactly what that means, okay? But here's the thing. They discovered that banning plastic bags actually hurts the environment. And you're like, what? This Rebecca Taylor started studying bag regulations because every time she moved from Washington, D.C. to California to Australia, they would implement bag restrictions right after she got there. She said, I think it's following me around. So she started studying it, and she found out something very important. And this is, I can back this up. It's been researched right here at the Sound of Life. She said, when they're banned and you can't get a hold of them, people start buying garbage bags, the thicker, bigger garbage bags. In fact, way more. The sales in one particular place, I think it was in California, went up 120%. So now you've just replaced those flimsy little, tear-easy, dinky little bags with much more substantial garbage bags. They do that because a lot of people repurpose those bags. And producer Wayne, right here, and I were talking about that yesterday. He said, oh, boy, I hope they don't because I use them at home. That's what I use them for. Right. So now the solution to that is, and I think they might have done that in New York, is that if you want plastic bags, it costs you a nickel a bag. So you figure, okay, 50 cents extra, you know, a nominal fee, and you can have the bags anyway. They say that's actually the best thing to do for people who repurpose the bags. That's kind of neat. And then, to top it all off, paper bags are even worse. And I thought, what? Of course, paper bags once you get the paper bag, it's fine because they're biodegradable and disappear and all that. But just to make them, I guess, is a lot worse for the environment. But the other day at the grocery store, I have to say, I was looking at different lines. You know, they had a couple lines open. No, they had several lines open. And people that were there were using their own bags. People started doing that. But you just kind of wonder. I just thought the unintended consequences of a big sweeping ban like that sometimes is just, you're like, oh, well, didn't see that coming. You know, it's kind of interesting. So it's very interesting. I mean, I think I'll use, because I buy garbage bags anyway. But I'm down to like only a couple different sizes now. There was a time in my drawer in the kitchen, I had about six different sizes of garbage bags. I should just get rid of those. But I just use the little ones for the garbage cans and the bigger ones, you know, for the kitchen garbage can. So, but it's just interesting how they do that. Now, Taylor believes that the recent legislation passed in New York is a bad version of the policy. So, because it bans only plastic bags and gives free rein to using paper ones. But this says counties, so it's going to be by county. They have the option to impose a 5-cent fee. So she thinks, well, it's going to drive. What's going to happen is, I don't have any reusable bags, and we don't have the plastic bags, so you have to use the paper bags. So it's going to drive up the use of paper bags. So at the paper mill, it's going to be pumping out, you know, toxic waste making the paper bags. Anyway, we're trying. I mean, you know, it's just, but it is interesting, isn't it? How we try in our best effort. I think that's in the Bible somewhere about we really try hard to do that, but you know, without consulting our Creator, it's just going to have unintended consequences. We don't see it. We don't see it coming. But that just struck me. So there it goes right there. I know. I realize you sounds like you've been listening to public broadcast.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
So here's something that's come out probably new for the season. And it has to do with products that taste like something else. I mean, I'm a mayonnaise lover. I'm sorry. I grew up down south, you know. People who we fed in the Dominican there with a cup of soup, nice barley soup. You know what they like in there? A dollop of mayonnaise. Blip, right in the soup. That's what they like. Probably wouldn't go for this new Heinz flavored mayonnaise. Seriously good mayo. And they've teamed up, apparently, they're using it illegally, the Cadbury cream egg flavor.
sweet and saucy mashup is only available in the UK. Thank God for that.
I like it, but not a lot. No.
The Sound of Life.
You have to speak German, and you have to be a woman, but congratulations, you can sleep for 60 days, and NASA will pay you if you meet those qualifications. I got a feeling that's going to turn into be a lot more than it just seems like, hey, just lay around, get paid. The study was commissioned by NASA and the European Space Agency, of course, as a means of researching how to counteract the negative effects of microgravity on the bodies of astronauts. Scientists now hope to simulate these cosmic conditions of space through consistent bed rest. But Chad, I don't know why the German. You have to be a woman who speaks German. Now, the thing is, I don't know about that. It almost harkens back to the days that you've probably seen those old black and white 8mm reels of NASA when before men even went into space and they were doing all kinds of strange experiments and things because they didn't know what space was going to be like and stuff. It almost sounds like that to me, you know. But I guess for a lot of people, just bed rest sounds like it'd be a neat thing to do and then to get paid for it. But I guarantee you that's going to be one of those things you're going to get into, and it's going to be probably a lot more grueling than you think.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
Ooh, man, I can tell you from someone who moved away from home. Home is awesome. But our real home is in heaven, and sometimes we forget that. We were kind of joking around a little earlier about how we live in such a comfort zone, you know, how Saturday is going to be in the 70s. I said, isn't that like the perfect temperature? We kind of think of heaven as that way, right? Ooh, it's not too hot, not too cold, you know, because we're like that. You know, in the winter, we got to get the heat, got to get it warmer. And in most places in the world, people just, you know, that whatever it is, that's, they dress the same every day, you know, they don't make any preparations. Cyclone coming. Okay, if we live through it, we live through it. That's kind of the way they are. I was getting distracted a little bit there. I am gluten-free, which nowadays, used to, back in the day, I would say, can I have that without the bun? Oh, okay, figured I was, you know, cutting back on carbs and things like that. So that was quite the fashion plate at the restaurant. But now it's like, oh, what do they call it? Is that, they don't say, are you a celiac? Is that a prescription? I forgot how it's worded. I go, yes. And then you're like, oh, boy, you're in for some dried up chicken and stuff. Anyway, but I am gluten free. Yes, Jim Gaffigan, are you gluten free?
I did discover that I'm gluten free. Anyone gluten free?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just kidding. You're a communist.
Oh, man.
Obviously, people that are gluten-free are like any other American, except for they're allergic to wheat.
Right, exactly.
The amber waves of grain. Doesn't mean they don't love their country, just means they can't stomach the purple mountains matches. Those are the people we should be screening at airports. Are you gluten-free / a terrorist? I don't judge. I report. You decide.
I think this boy's cheese slid off his cracker.
So here you go. You didn't realize it when you signed up for it, but you're a physician and you find yourself in Africa on the equator in a country that's probably, in a town that's very remote. Lots of those. Long way from any kind of medical help, hospital, things like that. You're, from your homeland. Dr. Helen happened to be from Northern Ireland. Probably has happened before. But you're in a dire situation because you've got a woman who's giving birth to a premature baby. She does not survive. So she leaves behind a grieving 2-year-old and a premature baby that's going to succumb to the cold. If they can't, your only water bottle was probably from World War II, and it bust in half when you filled it with water. And so now you said to the orphans, let's pray. And one of the 10-year-olds basically put it right out there. She said, the only hope of getting a partial scent from the homeland, because she had never received one. Oh, let me back up. She bleeds God. This is the 10-year-old named Ruth. Please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow. God, the baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon. And while you're about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really love her? And the physician said, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen to that? And while you're about it, so she said, Of course I believe God could do anything. Of course he can. Can he do that? Are there limitations? That's kind of what I was thinking in the back of my mind. I mean, the Bible says so, right? The only hope of getting a water bottle would be from a parcel sent from my homeland, which had never happened in the 4 years that I have been there. If anyone did send a parcel, who in the world's going to put a water bottle in it? I live on the equator. A couple of hours later, car dropped off a 22-pound package. The orphans helped open it, sort through the contents, some clothing for them, some bandages for the leprosy patients, a bit of food, and oh, as I put my hand in again, I felt, could it really be? I gasped. I pulled it out. It's a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried. I hadn't asked God to send it. I had not truly believed that he could. That's kind of the way it is. And, by the way, would there be a doll in the package? At this point, she's probably thinking of, probably is. The kids are digging down in the bottom of the box, and there it is, a beautifully dressed doll. I asked Ruth, can I go over with you and give this doll to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her? That parcel had been packed 5 months earlier by the former Sunday school class that the physician went to. The leader, of course, feeling prompted by God, included the hot water bottle, and a girl contributed the doll. And this package, the only one ever to arrive, was delivered the same day. 10-year-old Ruth prayed for it with the faith of a child. Twist of faith, maybe? In embellished yarn? Or was it a miracle?
The Sound of Life.
Came across something pretty good here. Always good to think about. Maybe you're already having kind of a tough day. I know sometimes in the mornings, man, it just doesn't go right. You know, you just, why do you have those days? It's like everything you touch, you drop. You ever have those days? Or sometimes I say everything I touch, I break. You know, or it just seems like things, you know, every computer I touch just locks up. I mean, it just seems like those days are like that. Well, think about this. Your worst day with God will be better than your best day without him.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He talked a little, but he didn't make sense.
The Sound of Life.
She is a survivor. She really shouldn't be in a situation like this. But, you know, when you're 20 years old, man, you got a lot of things on your mind besides your brothers and sisters. Usually the 20-year-old is the oldest of the family. You're kind of separating between your 16-year-old siblings and younger. But Samantha Rodriguez, since her parents died, is in a situation where she's the head of the family. She's taking care of her 5 siblings. Samantha lives in Orange County, but this is Orange County, Florida, but there may be a Samantha, very well likely be a Samantha or someone like her in Orange County, New York, taking care of her 5 siblings from the ages of 5 to 16. They must all take care of each other. Pretty amazing. And a lot of people obviously know her in the community because people have been helping her out. The sheriff's department there is the one that presents the gifts. Like at Christmas, they had a big surprise for all the siblings and stuff, you know, and they treated them to a helicopter ride, and people contribute to that. So they went all out recently and gave her a car. So, you know, that's one of those areas where I'm sure even if she had a car, probably need a lot of work. So they just got together. They finally got enough of anonymous donations, and they said, how about a family new car? That's pretty awesome. So, it's a pretty cool story there. And even though it's Orange County, Florida, I thought, wow, that's really good. You know, a community coming together. And I just pray that God works in the community and those people that give too. You know, you think, well, we're helping Samantha and her siblings. Yes, you are. But in many ways, God can work on a lot of different levels when something like that happens.
The Sound of Life.
Well, we're talking about an NFL player who went for 45 years after his career as a professional athlete ended, and he was not inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame, and it really bugged him. If you're an NFL fan, you probably know I'm talking about Jerry Kramer, who came up kind of recently. And of course, being in the Hall of Fame is like it. That's the highest recognition you can get in his sport. He got tons of other honors and achievements, but that one eluded him. And although he'd been nominated for the honor 10 times, it never been bestowed upon him. Despite having his hopes dashed so many times, Jerry Kramer was gracious, saying, "I felt like the NFL had given me 100 presents in my lifetime, and to be upset or angry about one I didn't get was kind of stupid." Is he speaking the truth? I think so. Where others might have grown bitter after being denied so many times in favor of other players, he was not. I guess his fans probably were way more bitter than he was. His attitude actually illustrates the way that we can safeguard our hearts against the corrosive nature of envy, which, as the Proverbs of the Bible says, rots the bones. Ooh. When we become preoccupied with what we don't have and fail to recognize the many things we do, the peace of God will elude us. It is one of the commandments, is it not? You shall not covet. Well, that's, let's see, that was number nine. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Yeah, the last commandment. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty important right there. And you don't want to do that. And, of course, the proverb says a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Lord, I pray for peace over you right now. There is nothing like it. Peace from God Almighty, and it gets inside of you, and you can't explain it to other people, but they know that there's something up with you, and they want it too. It's pretty cool, and I pray that you have that today so that you say, no matter what we want but don't have, we can always enjoy life-giving peace.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.